This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Igor Stravinsky was already a well-known, mature, working composer when his first ballet, The Firebird, had its premiere in June of 1910. But that ballet's success launched his career into the stratosphere. Not only was he essentially set for life financially, but he had achieved the kind of fame that most composers could only dream of. He was even once introduced at a party as Mr. Firebird. It also solidified what would be one of the most successful partnerships ever between a composer and an impresario. In this case, Serge Diaghilev of the Ballet Russe, who would collaborate with Stravinsky on two more of the most famous and popular ballets ever written, The Rite of Spring and Petrushka. One night, while Stravinsky was working on the final orchestrations for The Firebird, he had a dream in which he had witnessed a solemn pagan rite, wise elders seated in a circle, watching a young girl dance herself to death. They were sacrificing her to propitiate the god of spring. End quote. Stravinsky was immediately inspired and began composing, but he had to stop when he realized that while he could play the complex rhythms he was hearing in his head, he did not know how to write them down. So he called Diaghilev for advice. Stravinsky had originally thought of the work as a symphony, but when he played the music to Diaghilev, the great impresario knew that it had to be danced. Eager to build on the success of The Firebird, he urged Stravinsky to forge ahead with what would eventually become The Rite of Spring. At first, Stravinsky agreed. But he soon realized that what he really wanted after his intense work on Firebird was the change and refreshment of writing a sort of concert piece for piano and orchestra. He wrote, "In composing the music, I had in mind a distinct picture of a puppet suddenly endowed with life, exasperating the patience of the orchestra with diabolical cascades of arpeggi." The orchestra in turn retaliates with menacing trumpet blasts. The outcome is a terrific noise which reaches its climax and ends in the sorrowful and querulous collapse of the poor puppet. End quote. Stravinsky called his puppet Petrushka, a character who was well known to audiences in his day and whom he dubbed the immortal and unhappy hero of every fair in all countries. When Diaghilev visited Stravinsky in Lausanne, expecting to find him hard at work on The Rite of Spring, he was astonished when the composer played him Petrushka's music instead. Once again, Diaghilev was quick to perceive the possibilities in Stravinsky's music. The two sketched the outlines of a ballet, agreed on a commission fee of 1,000 rubles, and decided that the scenario should be worked out by a painter named Alexandre Benoit. Benoit had been one of Diaghilev's original advisors at the founding of the Ballet Russe and had conceived or designed some of the most famous of Diaghilev's productions. He had also loved puppet theater since childhood. Stravinsky lost some weeks of working time when he came down with nicotine poisoning, but otherwise the collaboration went smoothly, and just 18 days after he finished the score, Petrushka went on stage, June 13, 1911, in Paris. It was yet another triumph for the team, though the Paris orchestra required a little persuading at first, and not long after, the Vienna Philharmonic tried to sabotage its performance. Little did they know what would be in store for them when Stravinsky returned to his project about spring in pagan Russia. Petrushka opens in Admiralty Square, St. Petersburg, in the 1830s. It is a sunny winter's day, and the Shrovetide Fair is in progress. The square is crowded, it's the week before Lent, and not everyone is quite sober. Two rival street dancers entertain, one with an organ grinder and the other with a music box. This melody is a song that Stravinsky once heard played on a barrel organ outside his hotel room. He assumed it was an old French folk song, but it turned out to be a music hall tune that was under copyright. Much to his chagrin, Stravinsky and his lawyers eventually had to work out a satisfactory arrangement with the actual composer. Suddenly, drummers draw the crowd's attention to an old magician who descends from his theater and presents his three puppets, Petrushka, the ballerina, and the Moor. Touching them with his flute, he brings them to life, and to the amazement of the crowd, they too step down from the theater and perform a Russian dance in the midst of the crowd. A snare drum roll signals the change to scene two, set in Petrushka's room inside the little theater. Its walls are black, decorated with stars and a crescent moon. The door leading to the ballerina's room has devils painted on it, and a scowling portrait of the magician dominates the space. When the curtain rises, the door of the cell opens, and a large foot kicks Petrushka inside. The preface to the score tells us that while the magician's magic has imbued all three puppets with human feelings and emotions, it is Petrushka who feels and suffers most. Petrushka knows all too well how ugly and grotesque he appears, and he resents the way he is completely dependent on his cruel master, the magician. He tries to escape, but he can't, so he consoles himself by falling in love with the ballerina. She comes to visit him, and for a moment, he believes he has succeeded in winning her. But she is frightened by his pathetic and uncouth advances and rejects him. In his despair, Petrushka curses the magician and hurls himself at his portrait, but he only succeeds in tearing a hole in the cardboard wall of his cell. Scene 3 takes us to the Moor's room, and a character who would be considered grossly offensive these days. The room is luxurious compared to Petrushka's, papered with a pattern of green palm trees and fantastic fruits against a red background. The Moor's music, though, is rough and primitive, and is reminiscent of The Rite of Spring, which Stravinsky was working on at the same time. The Moor is presented as brutal and stupid. He tries to open a coconut with his sword, but when he fails, he decides that it must be a god and begins praying to it. The ballerina enters and succeeds in distracting him from the coconut with a seductive dance. Petrushka, though, has found his way out of his room and barges in, interrupting them in a jealous rage. But the Moor gives him a brutal beating and throws him out. The last scene takes us back to the fairgrounds, but it is now evening. A group of nannies and wet nurses dance to an actual Russian folk tune down the Petersky Road. Then a peasant enters with a trained bear. And after that, a merchant with two gypsy girls, several sheets to the wind. Coachmen and stable boys appear, first doing a dance by themselves, and then one with the wet nurses. Finally, a group of masqueraders enters, including a devil, goats, and pigs. Suddenly, there is a commotion in the little theater. Something is clearly not right, and the dancers gradually stop their swirling to watch. Petrushka runs from the theater, pursued by the Moor. The ballerina tries to restrain him, but he catches up with Petrushka and strikes him with his saber. Petrushka falls, his skull broken. As he dies, a policeman goes to fetch the magician. When the magician arrives, he picks up the corpse and shakes it to show the people that it's only a puppet. The crowd disperses, and we hear echoes of tunes from earlier scenes. The magician drags Petrushka toward the theater, but above the little structure, Petrushka's ghost appears. He threatens the magician and thumbs his nose at him. Terrified, the magician drops the puppet and hurries away. But Petrushka's face remains to haunt him and us. Petrushka's cry, the combination of the clashing chords of C major and F sharp major, was one of Stravinsky's most effective musical devices, and it certainly impressed Diaghilev when Stravinsky first played it for him. It is said to represent Petrushka's dual nature. Is he a puppet, or is he real? Although, by the end of the ballet, can we really be sure who is real and who is not? This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.